Saddle up your horses.
Welcome to Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter. This is the program that proclaims liberty to the captives of our beloved nation, where truth trumps political correctness, where the uncompromised word of God exposes the works of darkness and sets free those held hostage behind the iron curtain of a shamelessly biased media. For God has called us to stand for truth, and having done all to stand, we will stand. It's time to fight the good fight of faith to preserve our country, our families, fortunes, and sacred honor, to protect our property, our schools, and yes, maybe even salvage some of our churches. America, we have a trail to blaze. It's time to saddle up. It's time to ride. Now, here is your host of Red Sky Radio, Rob Walter.
Well, hello, America, and welcome, world, to Red Sky Radio, where we ride hard for the brand of Jesus Christ. God bless you all. We have a packed program today. Very opinionated program. I'm going to be doing a little bit more law stuff. Last week, you learned how to properly defend your property, yourself, and others using firearms. Trust that you did. If you missed that program, go to darkskyradio.com, darkskyradio.com, and you can find the Red Sky Radio link, and you can pull down that podcast from last week. You want to know that. I've gotten good comments on that. They appreciated it. I've talked for years about being armed. I've never talked about what to do when you've got the arms in your hands, when, how to use it, and when not to use it, and how not to use it. We start with the good news. I'm going to end with some very interesting news. My own personal survey, the Rob Walter way of taking a survey to get the pulse of what people are really thinking. Sort of like my own. It's not Walter's world, it's Walter's world here. But anyway, the good news I'm starting with is Donald Trump is up in the polls, and this is good news to a point. They say that it's closing, the gap is closing, the gap is closing. I like that news, and that's good news. I'll tell you what I actually don't want to hear. I don't want to hear that he's 5 to 6, 7, 8 points ahead. I don't. Because that, for a couple of reasons. Number one, it'll energize, I think, the base of on the left. The Democrats will rally if they perceive that they're distinctly down. Number two, and my bigger concern, is that those who are on the right side might not think it's so critical to vote for Donald Trump. The fact of the matter is, the times Republicans lose is because Christians don't vote, or they kind of got a lame brain and take all their news from, Andy Cooper on CNN or something of that sort. They really don't mesh scripture with politics. And the fact of the matter is, you cannot separate them. Don't try to separate them. They're inseparable. Jesus made no attempt to separate the two. The Ten Commandments doesn't make any attempt to separate the two. Right? I mean, we could go through that sometime. That'd be a whole program. We don't have time today. But I don't want Trump to get too far out in the polls. I want him to just be close, to keep the right-minded people focused on making sure they get to the poll, volunteering to make sure that to the extent they can that there's not voter fraud, and keep this close and just let it then hopefully be a blowout when it's all said and done. Now, that's the end of my good news, but I got to share something I find really intriguing. I've read this now a couple times. I can't verify it because the people writing it can't verify it. Let's just put it in the rumor stage, because that's sort of what it is, but this is really devious, incredibly devious. The left is increasingly thinking Trump is going to win. There isn't any question about it. That's why they continue to ramp it up and they just get louder and louder and louder with their 10-word vocabulary. They just get louder. They get more ridiculous, outrageous. I mean, talk about, you know, the level of demon possession that occupies the Democrats is coming to the point, sort of the equivalent to Linda Blair in the old movie The Exorcist, where her head is spinning around and the green vomit is coming out of her mouth. It's becoming that obvious. They're turning into the Linda Blairs of the world. the green vomit. I mean, it's just so palpable. And yes, it does stink, besides all of that. But this is what's circulating. I can't verify this. That's what I said. This program has got a little bit of opinion and just things that I've heard today, or I mean recently, along with some scripture, and a scripture that's going to blow you away out of the book of Ezekiel. You might want to already get turned to that one because you'll want to mark this baby down. But here's what's, this is what the rumors are, the rumor mill is producing, that there will be, in fact, voter fraud. But if the left sees that there is, and they know, notwithstanding the attempt by CNN, CBS, NBC, ABC, MSNBC, and all of their polls, which are leftists, they don't report the opinion, they're trying to create opinion, they know that they're sucking swamp water. And they know that Trump will win. They actually will participate in committing voter fraud for Trump. Ridiculous? Well, this is their thought. If we commit voter fraud for Trump, we are in a unique position to be able to prove that there's voter fraud because we did it. Now, however they conceal that, I don't know, but they got their ways. Remember, they're from the dark side. They're demonically inspired. They do things we could never even imagine because we have a Christ-like mind and they've got a demonic mind. This is what who knows what they might come up with. But their point is this. We'll commit the voter fraud to make sure Trump is going to win. We'll have the voter fraud. Then we will easily be able to prove that there's voter fraud. And by proving that there's voter fraud, we will now have a way to delegitimize his second term. You see, only somebody sleeping with Satan could come up with this stuff. I mean, in a sense, it's ingenuous. It sort of is. I mean, if you're the devil and you want to come up with some really sneaky thing, well, good. Well, the fact of the matter is, if that's what happens, you know what would be really amazing? Is that if that is actually employed, but then Trump just barely wins it, well, that's when they'd say, well, he wouldn't have won it if he didn't have the voter fraud. But if the voter fraud is sitting on top of already big win, then the point is it's irrelevant. I don't know. But that's how demonic minds think. Now, moving on. I am so tired of this COVID garbage. Though I do have a message. I'm not going to get into that. I'm digressing. But schools are making exceptions. I mean, Arizona State University came out with this proclamation. President Michael Crow, I think is his name. Yeah. Stated that any students caught hosting or attending social gatherings on or off campus would be subjected to suspension. But then when quizzed or pushed back from burn, loot, and murder, BLM. Now, does a Black Life Matter? Of course it does. Does the organization Black Lives Matter? No, not at all. They're admitted Marxists. We know that. Plenty of evidence. The organization couldn't give a rip about them. Individuals, yes. Make that distinction. Okay, so Black Lives Matter, the group, gets all ticked off because they said they were being discriminated against as it relates to an upcoming protest. And they don't have to worry about getting kicked out of ASU. What does ASU stand for? What, another substandard university? I don't know. I got a lot of people listening to the program who went to ASU, but I'll tell you here, I'm not here defending University of Michigan, where I graduated from, ever since they started hosting classes, one entitled How to Be Gay. Oh, thanks. Thanks, U of M. Which I sometimes call underwhelmingly mediocre. Maybe that's what U of M stands for. Sorry, but hey, I graduated from there, so I can knock them if I want. So Audrey Jensen, an official, clarified that students won't be suspended, however, if they're wearing masks and practicing social distancing at protests. You know what? I'd like to sue their sorry derriere for this level of discrimination on a host of amendments. ASU would be sucking swamp water. Now, they wouldn't be paying the $500 million that Michigan State University had to pay because of the sexist, rapist, whatever his doctor, whatever his name, with the Olympic committee. They're not even paying that much, but they'd be paying something. I got lawsuit on the brain today. I got a couple more to tell you about coming down the pike here. They should be sued because what they're saying is one student's First Amendment rights aren't nearly as important as another group's First Amendment rights. And if your Black Lives Matter, apparently those are the only lives matter. So that's what that says, right? That's what I've said before. If you can only say Black Lives Matter, you can't say all lives matter or white lives matter, then you're saying only Black Lives Matter, which we know to be a pile of racist crap, right? It is. Couldn't be any other way. And if that's the case, this is blatant discrimination. Next. The right-wing protesters. Actually, they're not right-wing. They're just conservatives. They were now getting hunted over their hats. And I actually was not displeased to say, what's his face, the guy who killed the Patriot Prayer guy that I saw this morning, that he got shot and killed by authorities. As far as I'm concerned, good riddance. I've got no, I do not mourn nor sorrow for his loss. I don't. And I got about 15 verses to back it up. But isn't it interesting that Joe, no brains Biden, he doesn't call for an end to stopping anything unless there's somebody that's on his side that gets hurt or shot. So they support this. They don't say anything. They love the violence. They think it's hurting Trump. Little do they know that it's helping Trump. But this is how stupid the left is. This is how stupid Ted Wheeler is. What an incredible moron. People in Portland, I have a lot of listeners in Portland. And thank you for listening. But you got to go to your neighbors and say, how on earth could you have elected such an idiotic, moronic jackass like Ted Wheeler? Goodness, well, more on Ted in a little bit. If we get to him, maybe he's not even worth talking about. So Biden doesn't even go there until to stop anything, no pushback, until a couple of things happen. One of his ilk gets injured. Number two, he sees that he's sucking swamp water in the polls because he doesn't have the guts to stand up for civil society. The polls are telling him that he's on the wrong side of the issue. And Joe, blowing in the wind, Biden, decides, well, I got to change on this one, like he flip-flops on everything. Everything. And you know the sad thing about this violence is what it comes down to. What is the crime? What is the crime that the innocent people or the conservatives have committed when they get beaten up, shot, spit in their face, like or the woman who beat up the 12-year-old kid this week, started punching him out because he had a Trump hat on? I'll tell you, this woman should go to jail, not for just assault and battery, but she should go to jail for a hate crime. As long as we're going to have the hate crimes, let's apply them against these stupid white people who are going around beating up little kids that they don't like what they've got in their hat. Here's the crime, folks. The crime is having a different point of view. That's all it is. And expressing it. But a different point of view really doesn't mean anything unless you can express it. That's why we have the First Amendment. That's all it is. A different point of view. So a 12-year-old boy gets whacked and beaten by this lady because she doesn't like his hat this week. The left is energized because the police aren't doing anything. And when the police don't do anything, they think they can do more and more and more. And finally, people start getting beaten up and killed. And it turns out that Rittenhouse may have had actually a legitimate self-defense thing. But I'll tell you, they have been hoping, the left has been hoping and praying that somebody on the conservative side would shoot a gun and kill somebody. Because that's all you're going to hear. You won't hear about what? As John Nolte writes for Breitbart, they have now documented, verifiable, 639 acts of violence separate incidences. I'm not talking about one person stealing three Trump hats at the same time or pushing people. These are separate incidences. 639 provable, verifiable acts of violence. So what does the left have? Well, they'll go back to allegedly Charlottesville a couple of years ago. And what would Barack Obama always go back to? Barack Obama would go back to the Crusades. That's why Christians are just as bad as the Muslims, because look what they did 1,000 years ago. Forget the 973 violent acts that the Muslims have committed in one form or another in just the last 2 years. Let's go back to the Crusades. They don't have a defense. They don't have anything. They don't have brains. They don't have morals. They don't have guts. I mean, and all they got, I mentioned earlier, all they really have is a 10-word vocabulary. I really mean that. That is all they have. Every time you see a video of left-wing violence, because that's really all you can see. There are no videos of right-wing violence. They're out there because it's not existing. But what's a left-wing violence? Here's your typical left-wing video. That beep, that beep, so-and-so beep, that little beep, that little beep. That's all they can do. It's all nothing but profanity. You see, Bible verse, take note, out of the heart proceeds the issues of life. Out of your mouth proceeds what's in your heart. Now, when I said they had about a 10-word vocabulary, I wasn't kidding. Here's their vocabulary. Mark them down. Racism. And you might want to put anti-racism today. That's a stupid thing. Sexist. Xenophobia. Islamophobia. Homophobia. Climate change. And social justice. Now you're saying, hey, that's only 9. And you're right. The 10th one that rounds it out, because they say all they can say with the first 9. Then they come in with the F-bomb. That's word number 10. Doesn't matter whether it's Joe Biden, Alyssa Milano. It doesn't really matter who it is. Gretchen Whitmer? Goodness sakes. What a putrid monster of a governor she is. That's all she can talk about. F-bomb, F-bomb, F-bomb. And you know, when they try to convey to you that they're really serious and they really got something important to say, only one thing changes. The volume. There's no substance. It's just the volume of the profanity and the same old, you know, xenophobia, Islamophobia, homophobia. Well, I'll tell you what, all the phobes are on the left. They're Christophobic. They're bibliophobic. They're El Shaddaiophobic. Truthophobic. Elohimophobic. Just go right on down the line. You want to find the phobes? They were all at the DNC. Now, last week, it's a big deal this week now, the bill that, actually we talked about it last week, about the legislator from Pasadena who is passing this bill to lessen the penalty against queer sodomizing by adult males, primarily towards then, really directed towards underage boys, not men, under whatever, they 17, and younger, down to 14, sodomized by older men, no longer wanting them on the sex registry. In other words, semi-legitimizing it. We talked in great length about that last week. And a week goes by, and finally others are picking up on the story. They're finally picking, this is horrible, this is horrible. I'm all, yeah, it is. I'm not saying I'm the first with the news. I'm just saying sometimes first with some things that are important to me, and then they become increasingly important to people at large, realizing just how awful these things are. It's one of the reasons this program is on the air. But I want to share a couple of things. We're going to get to the Ezekiel verse here in just a minute. There is a bill, which is, and they anticipate will be signed, that will require that in California, that public corporations headquartered in California must have queers in the board of directors. They must have some other things. They got to have, but they've added queers, gender screwed up, gender dysphobia, trannies. Now, just imagine this for a second. Let's suppose I was in the legislature in California. I tried. I got slammed. I didn't make it. Sort of glad I didn't, because it would have turned out to be a waste of time. And I couldn't be on the air. Let's suppose I proposed a bill in California that said that all corporations, public corporations, headquartered in California, must have at least one Christian on there. No, let's make it even better. Let's say you must have at least two Christians on the board, and one of them has to verifiably speak in tongues. How about that one? Hey, that's a great, let's do that. I mean, I'm not here trying to push a Pentecostal thing, but I'm just trying to point out the utter nonsense and utter depravity of that state run by Democrats. So let me go back now to the story from last week about the semi-legitimizing the queer sex between adult men and minor boys down to the age of 14. And it's a camel's nose under the tent. They say, look, it'll be really criminal, and you go on the sex registry if the age span is more than 10 years. More than 10 years. And the boy has to be at least 14. If they pass this, look, I will bet the ranch in a couple of years it'll go to 12. I have been saying for 15 years the queers will not quit until they have full access to all the little boys in the world without criminal penalty, without punishment, because they don't even call them pedophiles anymore. They call themselves MAPs. Do you know what MAP is? A minor attracted person. This is so easy to predict. And they won't quit until the Christians are sued, in prison, dead. There's no one around writing or speaking or saying anything that will convict them of their horrific sins of sodomy. Now, here's what I would do. This is what I would propose. Probably lose in a California court, but I would propose it. I would propose that if upon substantial witnesses, which biblically means two or more, when there is a sodomization of a man towards a boy, and I guess it would be, to make it equal, it would be sexual abuse of an opposite sex. But that's not where the real problem lies. That's not why they're pushing this bill. They want privileges for the MAPs, for the queers. I would state that if you're convicted with two or more witnesses in place, you'd be executed. That's right. I would kill them. I would have them killed. I don't care whether it is by gunfire, whether it's by lethal injection, whether it's through the gas chamber, whether it's the electric chair, whether it's a guillotine. No, wait a minute. I got an even better one. Jesus said it would be better to have a millstone tied around their neck and be cast into the sea than to lead one of those little ones astray. So this is what I think I would do. We go down to the Salton Sea in southeastern California, and those who need to be executed, we tie a millstone around the neck and throw them into the Salton Sea. Jesus said that's better. That's better than what it is that they've done. That'd be better. I mean, you'd be better off to have that happen than to lead a little one astray. So if that's okay, all the other methods of execution are okay too. You say, Rob, you've gone off the deep end. Well, you know what? Here's my Bible verse. This will blow you away. Ezekiel 13, 19. And it says, and they shall, no, I'm sorry, I got Deuteronomy 13. Okay, Ezekiel 13, 19. And will you pollute, this is the Lord speaking, will you pollute me among my people for handfuls of barley and for pieces of bread? To slay the souls that should not die, right in your margin, put abortion, put 64 million innocent unborn children that are slaughtered. God is taking Israel apart here in this prophetic statement, to slay the souls that should not die and to save the souls alive that should not live. This is the Lord's complaint. You're killing innocent people. Those who should live, you're killing. And those who should be killed, you're letting live. This is just one more example of where God has authorized, if not commanded, the use of capital punishment. And people would say, and I've had people say to me, well, you can't be doing that because look at all the people you'd be killing. Well, you know what? If you got convicted in June, you committed the crime in June, you got convicted in July of the trial, give it 60 days for appeal, and if you go to the gas chamber in September, guess what? You people say, we'd be killing all these people. You know, if that was the process and that was the penalty, you wouldn't have all these people doing this stuff. You wouldn't have all the people doing it. Kind of keep in mind, what is the cause here? What is the effect? Scripture makes it very, very clear in multiple places. I don't have the passage right handy, that the law, but this comes actually out of the New Testament, I think out of the book of Romans, says the law is made for the lawless. It's not for the righteous. The law and the punishments thereof are for the lawless people. Well, that sort of makes just kind of common sense in a sense. But that's where we are. That's what I'd recommend. Somebody asked me, you know what? What would you do if you were I've been asked a lot of questions lately, and I'm going to try to answer some of them today. What I think about Kanye West? I'm going to try to answer that question because that pops up. What would I do if I were governor today? You can quote me on this. I'd probably never be governor in Arizona. But since everybody else is declaring health emergencies, everybody else is exercising executive powers to the max to stop a phony problem, I would exercise that executive power based on a health crisis for a legitimate problem and summarily and quickly close every single abortion clinic in the state of Arizona. And I would do it, if necessary, under the threat of arms, by force, lock them, and have a gun. You do not get to kill innocent unborn children anymore. Let them go to the Ninth Circuit, send down the writ of mandamus, whatever it is that they might want to do, put it in your pipe and smoke it, Ninth Circuit. Go to Supreme Court, put it in your pipe and smoke it. We aren't changing, we aren't doing this. And guess what, Ninth Circuit, Supreme Court, you don't have any troops. But I will tell you, we would be like Aaron, who is commissioned by Moses, which I talked about a few weeks ago, who was sent into the midst of the people where there was a plague to stop the plague and intervene. He did something strong and immediate, an action in combination with the repentance. It'd be like the Phineas, who all the Moabite women are apparently just a bunch of babes, and contrary to God's word, the Israelites are marrying them and taking them away spiritually. They're not supposed to do it. And the Israelite man comes into the camp. He doesn't get the email. He trots his trophy Moabite wife into the camp. Phinehas picks up the spear, chases him into a tent, and runs them both through. And God rewards him with a covenant of peace. You see, there are times strong action is necessary to stop the plague. We have a plague. Repentance is not enough without action. Repentance doesn't mean jack if there isn't action. So, mark it down, quote me, I probably won't ever run for governor. If I do, I will stand proudly behind that statement. Ted Wheeler, gosh, why am I even spending time on this? I'll only say this. So he blames Trump. So there's, he blames Trump for a left-wing attack, which are the BLM and the Antifa, for a left-wing attack against a left-wing politician. Who is Ted Wheeler? So the left attacks a left-wing politician. They come and they trash Ted's condo complex. So Trump's at fault for... I'll quote Joe Biden. Oh, you know the
Red
thing.
Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter is a listener-supported program. Please know that 100% of your contribution goes to pay for airtime so that as many people as possible are able to hear that the Word of God has answers to every meaningful problem and issue in life. No one gets paid a salary at Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter, but in response to your support, we pledge to bring you the most timely and critical information you need to help make informed decisions in this age of media bias and a growing hostility to all things Christian. Your partnership makes you one of the watchmen on the wall with us, as described in the book of Ezekiel. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
We are back. This is Rob Walter with Red Sky Radio. We got a hot program going. I'm telling you what I really think, a few opinions, a little bit of law here in a minute, if we can get to it. But I ended that with a comment about Joe Biden. And it's just amazing. The other day, and I didn't see this on the news. If I saw it on the news, I wouldn't even mention it. But maybe it was on there. So he's giving a talk somewhere, and he reads the instructions on the teleprompter. I'm sorry if you already heard this. I actually haven't seen it or heard it on the news, but maybe they've covered it. So he's talking about, he goes into this thing about Venezuela. He's speaking about Venezuela, and there's this thing on a teleprompter that says top line message. Now, your top line message on a teleprompter, I've never used one, but I've seen one. And it's what you start out with. It's what you end with. It's your main message. And it's something that's your go-to point at the end of anything else that you're saying in between. So Biden is all over the place because he can't start a sentence and finish it. I want to say this. Well, this is, they did that. Well, wait. Well, here's the deal. I mean, come on, man. Let's look. He can't finish a sentence, so he's got to use a teleprompter. But this is what he says. Quote, I understand that Cuba, along with Russia and China, has contributed to the political impasse in Venezuela as well. So what's the president doing? Look, Venezuela, top line message. President Trump's policy is an abject failure. End quote. This is hilarious. The guy couldn't figure out where he was. He lost where he was. He went back to the top line message, which is President Trump's policies are a failure. That's what he starts with. That's what he's supposed to end with, and he goes to. But when he can't figure out what to say, he goes back up there to say that. But then he reads the instruction on the teleprompter, which says top line message. Okay. I said this a couple of weeks ago. I'm going to reiterate it. If I were a prosecutor, if I were a district attorney in the appropriate district in Delaware, I would bring lawsuits, criminal actions against Kamala Harris, against Biden's handlers and his enablers, and everybody who's propping Bernie up for this show Weekend at Bernie's, everybody that's doing this, I would file charges, criminal charges against them for elder abuse. This is elder abuse. Now, Joe Biden is nuts. He's just channeling Bernie Sanders. He's all over the map. He doesn't know what to say. He probably has his underwear on backwards and his teeth in backwards. Somebody's got to help this guy. But the way he's being manipulated, the way he's being used, the way he's being propped up for somebody else's personal benefit, somebody else's gain, is classic elder abuse. When you take advantage of an older person who does not have the ability or the resilience or the internal constitution to resist somebody else's influence, chicanery, subtle bribery, intimidation at the subtlest form, because the other person is trying to gain an advantage, typically money, but in this case, probably money and popularity, that is elder abuse. Kamala Harris and all the others need to be in jail for elder abuse. Bring the charges. Now, CNN, MSNBC, ABC, CBS, NBC, none of them would cover it because they're all carrying water for the Democrats. But that's what should happen. Okay, question. I got this question. Is Kanye West going to help Donald Trump or hurt him? This is just my pure opinion. I don't know. Okay, next story. No, I will say this. I really don't know. This is how I parse this out, though, with just couple of thoughts. Because there's a party bringing action in Arizona to try to keep Kanye West off the ballot. Because he's on in Utah, Tennessee, Arkansas, I don't know, a couple of other states. I think he's on four or five states. the most pro-abortion Democratic ticket in the history of the United States is who you've got right now, Biden and Harris. You make them, you make them, we'll scrape them. No fetus can beat us. That's their motto. The most pro-life Republican ticket in the history of the of this country since Roe v. Wade is who? Trump and Pence. So you have the most pro-abortion ticket versus the most pro-life ticket. What's Kanye West's biggest issue? Abortion. It's his number one plank because he knows that it is a racist model, if you will, or plan, going back to Margaret Sanger, to decrease the black population, which is where, of course, all the very disproportionately the Planned Parenthood clinics are. Oh, amazing. What a quinky dink. They happen to be in black neighborhoods. They are the racist organization from the beginning of days, from Sanger right up to right now. And Kanye West is onto it. He can say it because he's black. He can get away with that. And he's doing a great job of making that point. So how does he affect this election? I think there's only two choices. Either one, he ends up drawing some conservative vote away from Trump. People who actually sort of like what Trump is doing, but they don't like Trump. And maybe he draws some conservative votes to himself and hurts Trump. The other side of it is, because he's black, that he's going to draw a disproportionate number of black voters, the disproportionate number of which will vote for Biden. Now, keep in mind, Trump is set to set a record support among black voters. I don't know whether it's going to be 15% or 25%, but it's a whole lot more than the 6, 7, and 8 back in the days of Goldwater. Actually, that did start with Goldwater, actually, but I actually met McCain and Romney. So if he disproportionately draws blacks away from Biden to himself, that will hurt Biden in those states. And it could be a big deal in Arizona. So I don't really know. Those are the two impacts that I see. All right. I get this next question. Can we be forced to take vaccines? You know what? I'm looking at my time here. I think I am going to put this off till next week. It doesn't have to be covered today. I think I want to cover that next week. I have a lot that I want to say on that and something else. I want to go to the Pelosi thing in the hair salon, though. Now, I know this has been covered ad nauseum, but I want to bring out something that needs to be brought out. And I'm thrilled. It's good news that the salon owner now has over $100,000 of contributions from Republicans. Praise God. The Republicans are being blessed with the money to be able, some are anyway, to be able to help this woman out. John Nolte says, you know, there's six things we've quickly learned about this event, and I want to just quote him going right down the line here. I mean, just a couple of things. We know, first of all, that she's indoors. She's without a mask. We know the whole story, right? That she claims it was a setup. The whole thing was a setup, even though it was her assistant, Pelosi's assistant, that called to make an appointment. Nobody in there told her she didn't have to wear a mask. She should know. She's a Queen Jezebel of the West Coast. And the camera wasn't set up for Queen Nancy. The camera's been there for 6 years. She set up the appointment. She's just a lying big sack of crap. That's what she is. No brains, no morals, just attitude, ego, and this control mentality that is pervasive throughout the Democrat Party. So Nolte's quick six are this. What her response tells us, that number one, you and I and everybody else, we're just second-class citizens. Because Nancy's part of the really stinking elite. Except she isn't all that elite, but she does stink. Number two, the political media are useless palace guards. I like that. Thank you, Mr. Nolte. That is a perfect way of saying it. Palace guards doing what? Protecting the guilty, not the innocent, the guilty. Number three, Nancy Pelosi doesn't believe masks are necessary. That's absolutely correct that she doesn't believe that. If she thinks they're necessary, why doesn't she have one on? Everyone around her has got one on. Is that why she thinks she doesn't have to have one on because everybody else has one on? I kind of understand that because when I'm in Costco and 500 people are wearing masks and I'm the only one that's not, I don't have a problem. Everybody else is covered. I'm not. I don't have to worry about them. But I wouldn't care less. If only one person had a mask, I still wouldn't have mine on. But obviously she's lying, hypocritical piece of garbage because she's this hypocrite. She doesn't believe they're necessary. If they were really necessary, she'd have one on. But this is just another game, another play out of the Democrat playbook. Number four, Nancy Pelosi doesn't believe business closures are necessary. That's true. If they were really necessary, then she wouldn't be supporting local businesses in some clandestine, secretive way where she can sneak in. I mean, she's not even as open about it as Michael Jackson was. When I lived in California, I lived very, very close to Michael. And what would he do? He wasn't real visible, but when he wanted to go shopping and use a business and didn't want to get hassled, he would rent the store. He said, close the store down for 2 hours or come in there, I'll pay you whatever, a couple $1,000, just close it. I'll come in there, you keep the $2,000, and then I'll also shop, and you'll get the profit from that. But he was open about it. He wasn't trying to... He just didn't want to be hassled. That's a little aside, but I never disliked Michael Jackson. For many years after his death, I had his mailbox. P.O. Box 9, Los Olivos, California. Look it up. Neverland. That was my mailbox afterwards. But I liked the guy in a sort of way that we'll save for another program. Number five, Nancy Pelosi is a liar. Duh. Well, thanks. Thank you, John, but we know that. Number six, thank God for the citizen media. And what he means by that is thank God for Breitbart. Thank God for the Christian Post. Thank God for One News Now. Thank God for all of these other news outlets. The citizen media, the ones who have to fight through this shutdown and the suppression that we see at the mainstream media and then Google and Facebook and YouTube. They're all anti-Christian. Now, my point, my take on the Pelosi deal is this. So our assistant calls to make the appointment. The camera's installed 6 years ago. And now the owner... It just gets absolutely destroyed online. She's getting death threats, people saying they're going to loot her store, burn her store, beat her up, all because Nancy Ying-Yang Pelosi thinks that she can get away with lying to the public. I was set up, and they owe me an apology for the setup. Here's my point. Salon owner, I forgot her name now. Sue Nancy Pelosi. Sue her. Sue her till there's no Botox left in her face. Sue her till she's in the sewer. Sue her till she cannot squirm one way or another and she is done and toast. And why? Because she does not have a constitutional right to defame this woman and slander her business. It's business defamation. She doesn't have a right to do that just because she's a Speaker of the House. No. I mean, think about this. Cogitate about this on this. Yeah, that's a ticket. Cogitate. Yeah, that's what I mean. Cogitate. Think about this for a second. Why should she not sue her for Mega Millions and punitive damages? Now, I want to throw something in here. You see Yelp reviews? You can get sued for a defamatory business, for business defamation on Yelp. Yeah, I went to this motel and there were bed bugs in the place and then the person was rude and there was a snake under there and then I'd never go there. Well, it's all lies. That business can go sue that person for defamation. which covers lost profits, probably punitive damages, all that stuff. So just a little word to the wise here. If you're on Yelp, go Yelp. Yelp all you want, but make sure it's true and you can prove it. Or shut up, because you actually, we've had the first case, and it's about time that somebody got sued for slandering a business on Yelp just because they were ticked off and they thought they could say anything without any repercussions. Okay, now, my survey, my own personal survey. I want to feel where people are. This is actually good. I think this is in the good news department. It says in the book of Jude to contend for the faith. Contend. Now, that's the verb. The adjective is contentious. And we tend to think that contentious is bad. Well, contentious is just the adjective. If you're contending for the faith, you're contentious for the faith. And sometimes you have to get in people's face to cover things and to deal with it. So, I'm traveling last week. I'm not in Arizona. I'm out of state. And I get invited to a meeting of only 20 people or so, where Mr. Bart Stupak is speaking. Now, you may or may not remember this guy. This is the guy who sold, who was allegedly pro-life. And he sold out the pro-life movement and consented to sign on and support Obamacare in 2009 and 2010. He sold his soul to the devil on this thing. And we ended up with a compromise, and Obama said, well, I'll do an executive order. Well, executive order lasts as long as the executive. Eventually, the order wears off, like an odor. It wears off. The order wears off. It was an incredible compromise. And guess what? He decides to resign right after this. I think I've had enough of this. I'm going to resign. He went the way of cowards. Well, he's speaking, and it was supposed to be a little thing where a couple of people were presenting on policy issues. It wasn't supposed to be about politics. There's people on the left, people on the right. There's only 20. I feel honored to be invited to come to it and hear. But he said something. He said, you know, the problem is that people asked a question. One person asked a question and said, you know, we've got so much animosity. What happened to the days where people just were civil to each other and they could do this and say this and maybe then, you know, got at each other in the chambers, but then they went out to dinner, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Had a few drinks. They pelsy-wellsy around. And Stupak came back and said, well, we just have this extreme protesting on the left, and we have this extreme protesting on the right, and that's the problem. And I am just stunned. I'm absolutely stunned that he said this. He said, "With the Democrat, we get along. We get along. I mean, and we go play this. We play a baseball game. We got the congressional baseball game. And by the way, we, the Democrats, always beat the Republicans." Now, keep this. This speech is supposed to be. This talk is supposed to be policy-based, not politic-based. I didn't say anything for a while. And I finally could take it no longer. And I said, Mr. Stupak, I have to correct you on some things and address a couple of things. First of all, regarding the congressional baseball game, if you think that the way that you can win is a fair way by having a Democrat shoot Steve Scalise on the baseball field, if that's the way you win, well, if that's the way you win that, then so be it, if that's what you have to do. And number two, you tend to equate Republican or conservative or right-wing protesting with left-wing protesting. I have something to tell you, sir. BLM is not voting for Donald Trump. Antifa is not voting for Donald Trump. They're the ones that are burning, looting, and murdering. Those are the ones that are causing all the problem. And you find one little incident here or there on the so-called right, then you try to cause these or consider this to be an equivalent. And one last thing. When you sold babies down the river, when you sold us out, you sold your soul, I think, back in 2009 and 10 by throwing in the towel and going along with Obamacare, which I might add is not the Affordable Care Act. It's the Unaffordable Care Act, because right after you passed it and you signed on for it, my health insurance tripled. Now, he's not saying anything, but I got the floor here at this point. And I said, here's my concern, Mr. Stupak. I think you're governed by Proverbs 25, verse 26. And what does Proverbs 25, 26 say? It says that when a righteous person, and I'll give you the benefit of the doubt, you originally at least had the right position during about abortion. I don't know where you are now, and I can't remember all of this exactly, but I'll give you the benefit of the doubt that you're a righteous person. But it says in Proverbs 25, 26, when a righteous person falters before the wicked, he is like a polluted spring and a polluted well and a murky spring. It's dirty. You can't drink it any longer. You can't see the bottom, so you can't step in it any longer. Here's the situation, Mr. Stupak. Because you faltered before the wicked, you are an unreliable person. Because that's what Proverbs 25, 26 says. Now, I tried to address him afterwards, but he moved off very fast. The guy basically ran away from me and had nothing to say to anybody, especially me. And then I got find out that there are a number of people have come afterwards and said, look, man, I'm thrilled you stood up to the guy. Look, you contend for things. You contend. Now, how do I find out the good news on this thing? I decided to wear, for one day, my T-shirt that I had specially made to find out and elicit where people are on this thing. I got out my, generally speaking, Democrats suck T-shirt. Yeah, I wore it. My wife won't set foot outside if I'm wearing that. The Democrats suck T-shirt. I got 15 responses in 1 hour. 15. First man, he just went by me and said, F you. Well, that's pretty much what I expected. You know, he skipped the first 9 words of the leftist vocabulary and went right to number 10, which actually sort of means it's, I guess, number 1. I expected that. Now, I'm going to tell you about number 15. Number 15 saw it. And I was walking down the street, and he turned around and saw it, and he said, I don't want to walk in front of you. I said, well, why not? He said, you got that shirt on. I said, well, now that I know how you feel about this, I'm not sure I want to walk in front of you. I'm not going to walk in front of you. Now, this guy is 30 years younger than I am. I'm 6 foot, 185. This guy's 6'4", probably 250, 30 years younger with his girl. And he hates his shirt, and we have this exchange. And when it ends, he's starting to move towards me to beat me up. And he's calling me every F-bomb, every bit of profanity you could ever possibly imagine. Why? Why? Going back to the beginning. Because I have a different point of view. And so I back up. I said, look, hey, I'm a lot older than you, but I can outrun you, man. He said, come here. I said, I'm not going to come towards you. I'm not going to be the aggressor. You're the aggressor. And he kept coming towards me, and his chick, wife, girlfriend, who cares, I don't know, is grabbing his arm trying to pull him away. And finally, I yell out to 3 people who are nearby, hey, get your cameras out. This is an assault. Get your cameras out. Now she's really talking at him, and he increases the profanity. I keep backing up. I'm not looking for a fight. That was number 15. This is the left-wing trigger. I had a guy threaten to beat me up because I wasn't wearing a mask. I'm serious. So I'm not going to do it. Come on. You're drinking the Kool-Aid, man. Well, they're triggered. It doesn't take much. It does not take much at all. But here's numbers 2 through 14. As I went down through the street, I come out of a store. The one guy laughs. He goes, oh, man, love the shirt. Another guy from across the street walking could see it. Love the shirt, man. I get on a bike, I ride a little ways, I get off, and there's 2 guys come running up to me. They kind of look like twins. Kind of like the Hager twins, sort of, but they're in their 50s. They ran up to me and said, we just want to see the shirt. Does it really say what we think it says? I said, well, and I turn around and said, I go, oh my gosh, is that great. Fist bumps, practically chest bumps. We shake hands. I get pats on the back. I got to tell you, the support that came out from the people who saw me with this audacious, bodacious T-shirt was over the top. So here's my good news. The bottom line is the left cannot and never will be able to handle the truth. The good news is, first of all, if you stand up to the Bart Stupaks of the world, you'll find out that there's a lot of people who will line up behind you, just like happened there. But most of all, in this particular, the little Rob Walter, man on the street study, doing the Jesse Waters thing, finding out, but I'm doing it with a T-shirt, I find out that there is just as much unspoken support for this president as there was 4 years ago. I did a similar thing with impeach Obama thing 4 years ago. I found out pro-Trump shirts, wearing them around in California, found out how much suppressed support there was. Same thing this year. And I have to tell you, when you step out like that, do you have any idea what kind of inspiration and encouragement you give to others to step out, to challenge the Bart Stupaks of the world? I'm not saying you got to get a generally speaking Democrat suck t-shirt, but you can put on a Trump hat and not worry about it. You see, there actually is more support. I had to go to the edge to bring out and elicit the intensity of the support for this president, which would not have been shareable, if I can use that word, unless they saw somebody so bold and outspoken that there was almost nothing that they couldn't say in support of what I represented. Remember, you do sit in a saddle, right? You're riding a horse. It's got to be the right horse, got to be the right saddle, but you sit tall in it because you stand for the brand. You ride for the brand of Jesus Christ. God bless you. We'll see you next week.